Welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Neil. And yes, I am excited about our guest, Marianne J. George. I am a fan. I have to tell you, your music is beautiful and you're a Grammy Award winner. That's gigantic. When you released your, you were with Maverick City, then you released your first album and it goes huge. And that's so cool. But I love the style of music you do. I like everything that you do and songs that are sung everywhere now. And you're so young and you have this legacy already. And so I, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wow. Such kind things. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, it's so true. And so, I read that you were discovered on YouTube.
I was, I think so. I started off doing like a lot of YouTube covers, but then I started transitioning once Instagram started to become more of a thing. I started doing some of those shorter form content ideas on Instagram, like through video. So I was kind of doing that. And then that's how like one of the founders of Mav City had found me through that shorter form content. But I had built a fan base really slowly, organically through YouTube. I self-pronounce myself the YouTube. Like I was like one of those YouTube babies that grew up on watching YouTube and loved, still love YouTube and the community that it has. So.
Did you think you'd be discovered, that you would have that type of a discovery, or you thought not at all. Something else?
Not at all. I never thought I'd be discovered, period. It was not something I ever anticipated for myself. The place I'm at now is way beyond anything I could have dreamed of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so deserving. You have a beautiful voice and an even more beautiful heart. And so it sounds like you grew up in kind of a musical family. Like music has just always been part of your life.
Yeah. So my family is very musical. Both my parents were worship leaders and led a lot at church. And my aunts and uncles all sing, most of them sing. And so we kind of grew up like my cousins and I always sing together. We're like even now super involved in church leading together. And so music is such a deep ingrained part of my being that I can't really imagine a life without it at this point. So even my daughter, she may not have a musical bone in her body. I don't even know if she does or not. She's too young to know, really. But she's going to be growing up in music, whether she likes it or not. So yeah, it's a really big part of my life.
Did you think you would be, when we talk about, you know, your talent, when did you know you had talent? That's always an interesting thing with someone that's really good at something. Hmm. You know, you talked about your discovery. You were really being a creator, getting it out there. But when did you know that you were different than a lot of people when it came to singing?
You know, that is very interesting. Great question, because I've never really even thought about it. But I will say, like, I knew that I could sing when I went to try out for my... Well, the thing is, I grew up around cousins who sing, right? And so all my cousins would tell me, like, oh, you sing so well. And I'm like, you sing so well, too. We all sing so well. But then, you know, I'd start singing in church and people would tell my dad or my mom and be like, you know, she's really talented. She has this not a knack for it. But my parents never really like, they pushed me to play violin. So I was I'm a violinist. I've been playing violin since I was five years old. So they always pushed me into that and they never really encouraged the singing as much. But then like someone had told my dad, like, you know, she can really sing too. And I was just like, yeah, like, but everybody, a lot of people in my church community could sing. I grew up in a church that had a lot of talented people. So I didn't really think I was anything super special, but then I tried out for a school musical in middle school and it was Oliver Twist. And I was trying out for a lead part and my choral teacher, who's not Indian. So I grew up in a predominantly Indian church and around a lot of Indian people, but she was not Indian. And she told me, she was like, you could really sing. Have you thought about like maybe like pursuing music or maybe doing lessons? And I was just like, no, like I haven't, but maybe I should try. So I kind of like started realizing outside of the church context when I started doing more show tunes or like, you know, things that weren't necessarily a church song, I started realizing, oh, like people actually think I can sing that aren't also in church, like the outside people. They can hear me sing and they think I'm good. So I guess I must be good. But I would say, like, after having my child is when I started to even, like, even through Mav City, like, I didn't necessarily have full confidence in my abilities as an artist. But I really think after having my daughter, I believe in myself the most now than I've ever believed in myself before. I really believe that I have something unique and special to share with the world. And I really believe no one else can do it but me. Like, the message that I have is one that's very custom to what I have to say. And nobody else can really deliver that for me except me. And so I'm the most confident now. So it's kind of weird. Like when you ask, like, when did you really believe in your talent or yourself or your gifting? Like, really, if I'm being honest, probably in the last year and a half.
It's crazy. Isn't it crazy that we had it all the time and we didn't know it? I mean, like, I spotted it specifically enough of my business and everything and how I was bringing to the table compared to anybody else and it was years later. And then finally the light bulb goes on. Oh, I am a little different than somebody else.
Right.
I can provide this for somebody. I really can do this because we always are our self-doubters in certain things.
And I think we tend to know that we don't fit in very early on, but we don't know that it's our superpower until much later. Right. So it's like, I've always never felt like I fit in anywhere. Like, you know, that was one of the beauties of being part of Mav City. We were kind of all black sheep in our own right. And we kind of get together and we're like, oh, you're a black sheep too. That's crazy. Like, wow. We all felt really like special in that way. And then like, I think it was only then that we started realizing like, oh, wait, this is not something to shy away from. And this is something we should be embracing about ourselves. And so that's kind of the key where it starts to turn from being like a crutch into like, oh, this is actually, this is what makes me unique and different and special and like a good way. So,
yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Because the music is different. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's heartfelt. It's deep. It's wonderful. It's incredible. It's this beautiful mix of like contemporary Christian and gospel, which I've never quite understood why they're two different genres, but somehow they've been so separated to bring it together. It's all of that and so much more in your new song that is being released in just a couple of days, Labor. Oh my word. I cried, I have to say, when I listened to it because I was there. I was that mom, right? That moment of birth and what it does for you is absolutely incredible. But you have a line in it. I wrote it down and I think I have it right here. It was almost wish I didn't carry you. Wow. Yeah.
Very deep thoughts that you have in that moment. Like, and I'm going to say even for fathers, right, to watch like a husband to watch their wife going through that kind of pain, like you kind of like I know there was a point where my husband was like, can we just take this away like for a second, just so you're like, okay, like, you know, but like we all have had that moment. No one wants to talk about it, but it's like in that moment where it's just like, oh my God, like this was a mistake. I should have not done this. This is really bad. I hate it. I hate myself. I hate the pain, everything. But it's like now you know, at the end of the song, like it kind of goes into this whole thing where it's like, wow, I'm not the same person. Like I would never, even now, like I would never want to go back to who I was before I had her. And the song kind of talks about what labor does and that thought process that it's like, yeah, the pushing part of labor maybe lasts like, I don't know, people range from 30 minutes to like 24 to 48 hours, but like, it is like a lifelong kind of process and coming to terms with who you are after the fact, it's something that's so unique. And I just happened to go through that experience at the height of my musical career and just kind of navigating all of that together was really, really difficult, but it really brought me out into a place of gratefulness and kind of like, man, I'm so glad I went through that. I found myself in such a new way. And I actually found myself, not just like the namesake of like, yeah, I'm an artist and this is what I do. But like now I really feel like there's purpose behind my artistry and my musicality and my choices and decisions, even outside of artistry, like I find a purpose that's so much deeper now in having my daughter. So that's kind of what that whole song is about, and confronting the realities of some of those thoughts, but also bringing a truth to it at the end of rebirth and redemption.
You think about your fan base and how important it is for you to be authentic.
Right.
To the music that you portray to your fans has to be as authentic, and you have to be the same as your songwriting and your, right. and your singing. Because if you don't, your fans aren't going to stay there forever, and they're not right. going to be raving, and they're not going to be yeah. loving your music and keep coming back for more. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's important to me. Like, I want that authenticity to shine through anything I do, but also I think it's something like the Lord wants from me too. Right. Like, it's, you know, I want to take every moment. That's one thing I love about David and the Psalms. Like, he was so real with God, like at every point of his journey, to the point where like the outsider might have been like, okay, this is way too much. Like, but he yearns and longs for us to come to him in those really difficult times and in those really difficult moments. And I felt him stretching my mind and my heart and kind of confronting a lot of the feelings that I had or expectations that I had for myself, the judgments that I had about myself. Like, he just kind of like washed them in compassion and love and through this daughter, this girl of mine. He gave me a chance to kind of look her in the eye and see myself in a really, really unique and special way. And so I wanted that authenticity to shine through, and I want it to shine through anything I create. Like, I made it I made a very conscious decision to be very authentic with anything I put out as an artist. It has to feel like me, even if it's not comfortable for the listener. I want it to be an expression of my journey and my process. And sometimes it's not comfortable for people to listen to, but I think the uncomfortability translates in whatever they're going through. It may not be in the specific experience of labor and motherhood, but if someone's uncomfortable or it sparks an uncomfortable, triggers an uncomfortable response, I think I've done a good job maybe of just helping people be a little bit more introspective about the experience. I'd be intrigued to know what caused that. And I have a background in mental health, so maybe that's part of why I'm like that, but I just want all my music to kind of spark that conscious kind of questioning and authenticity, and I want it to feel very real.
Yeah, well, and I can say, I think it's about darn time that right. in the Christian world, that there's an artist that, you know, with secular yeah. music, there are artists that are just very vulnerable mm-hmm. and tell their yeah. stories and their heartbreaks and all of that stuff. But in the Christian world, everything is, yes, everything's great. Yeah. Everything's wonderful and happy yeah. and so fabulous. So to be you, and be brave enough and mm-hmm. real enough to just say, you know, I'm doing a whole different kind of album here, not just song,
yeah,
but a whole yeah. different kind of album that just talks about the truth of life, right? The
yeah.
the things that people go through and can relate to. And what a beautiful thing, because in music there's healing, right? So to right. be able to listen to your words and listen to the realness of life
mm-hmm.
is healing.
Right.
Right.
I agree with you. And I think, like, that's why it's just so important for me to be authentic and honest about where everything is. You know, I'd rather have my daughter listen to an artist that is a faith-based artist, but is documenting what grief feels like, or, you know, what rejection and loss and pain. And it doesn't mean that it's always going to be happy-go-lucky, you know, but at least, like, we understand pain or grief in that context of faith and the lens of Jesus, right? And so I'm like, you know, I want more Christian artists to be a little more honest. And it's not that we can't find joy in the midst of pain. I think we can. But I think when we have so many artists that kind of portray this, like, almost unrealistic picture, right? It's like, oh, there's no room for my grief. There's no room for my struggle or pain in my faith. Like, you know, and that's not true. Like a lot of David's Psalms were laments. Like, I mean, like him just being upset, and God called him a man after his own heart. Like, you know, so it's just that if anything, that should give you encouragement that there's space in with the Lord to have all those feelings and to struggle. And so I wanted people to know that, like, yeah, like I had the feeling too. Like I felt that too of regret and pain. And you know, I almost wish I didn't had her, I have her. Like I felt that same thing. And hopefully more people feel seen in that. And like, okay, wow. Like a sigh of relief almost, yeah. You know, like, okay, that's what I hope they feel.
Now, Kim has a love question she asks all our guests. Go ahead with the question.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I spent a year dedicated to figuring out the true meaning of love. And I was in Haiti most of the time. I took the love chapter, love is patient, love is kind. That's not me. I took one word a month and figured out what is love that is patient. And what I found out, Marianne, just blew my mind and rocked my world. And so I'm always curious how other people look at love and how love flows through you. So that's what I'd like you to talk about.
Ooh, that's great. I think love is being seen and being understood. And to me, that is something I've learned in this season of my life right now. Like, you know, there was a time where I was on these big stages for Mav City and didn't feel loved by people who really knew me, you know, like, or I didn't feel like people really knew me or understood me or wanted me if I didn't fit a mold or image of what, you know, industry wanted it to be. And so I didn't feel loved, but then slowly but surely I felt the Lord reiterating his love for me and his value, the value he saw in me, the value he saw in me. And I felt so seen by God, and I felt seen by God through not just him, but like the people he would bring in my life. Like, you know, this, the producer that helped me with this track specifically, him and his wife have poured so much belief and love into me and like really gave me like wings to fly. I always use that phrase when I refer to people who I feel like have really shown me love. Like the way that you love people can literally give them wings to fly. And so I felt so seen by them and understood in my questions, in my struggle, but also in my joy and my victory. And like God had orchestrated that where with my producer specifically and his wife. And so it was like a very God thing, like, which may be a story for another day, but God had strategically kind of placed me in a position to re-meet them. I'd met him once before. And I told myself in that moment, like, I really want to work with him again. God like brought another whole experience for me to meet him again. And I really felt God's love in that. Like I felt so seen by him. I had made a decision to step away from Mav City and I felt scared. I knew God had called me to do that, but I felt really scared. And like, how are people going to still follow up with my music? You know, like how are people going to know that I'm still right. working or creating? And God brought, like showed me his love, like by making me feel so seen and bringing these people to me. And he continues to do that. He continues to bring me people onto my team like that love and believe in me so much. And I think like love is being seen and being believed in, you know, like someone really believes in your ability and believes in what you carry. That to me is what love is.
All right. Excellent. Best place people can find your music. Where can they go?
Ooh, you could go on all the DSPs, Spotify, Apple Music, anything else. But I'm also going to be releasing a music video very soon. So hopefully that'll come out a few days after the single is out on Friday. So you can check out my YouTube page as well.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. That's a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show on the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.